Wouldn't it be nice if the grown-up sermon was that short? Let's try to do that. The Lord be with you. Okay, so today I bring you grace and mercy and peace from God as we move into this sermon. Somebody held up the Bible because it's customary that we do that, so let's rise and do that. Let's begin this sermon with the Bible held up, and we say these words together. This is my Bible, the Word of God. It is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, open my ears to receive it and prepare my heart to contain it. I submit my will to it as the final authority in my life. Speak now, Lord Jesus, while I listen. Please be seated. Today from our gospel text, I'd like to talk about one of the issues that many Christians have and still wrestle with today as it relates to the question of salvation. We all agree and believe that when Jesus died on the cross, his death was intended to bring eternal life back to the human race as it was in the beginning before the fall. And that's why we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God, the scripture says, loved the world. It is from this context that he comes. We see this clearly in our second reading this morning in Revelation 7, where people from every tribe or nation that could not be numbered were standing around the throne of God, waving palm branches and singing praises to God who lives forever and ever. And this text gives us the exact imagery of the finished product of our Lord's mission on the earth. When you look at the readings from Revelation 7 this morning, it gives us an exact imagery of what it's going to look like in the end when we stand in heaven. So the reason Jesus came has an end product to it, and the end product is what is spoken about in Revelation 7 this morning. Many Christians today wrestle with the question of whether or not they are truly saved. So folks get up in the morning and they are wondering in their minds, if Jesus were to come now, or if I would die now, am I going to spend eternity in heaven? And sometimes we question ourselves based on the choices we've made in life, the things we've done in life. And we question ourselves and we weigh our answers by the things or choices we've made. And we want to really look at this morning. Many Christians wrestle with this question. The unanswered question leaves them living in skepticism and fear of the future, which then lead to a negative attitude towards self and God. Many Christians, as a result of this attitude, have either left the faith or are carrying what I will refer to as the "I really don't care" attitude toward God. Their enthusiasm level regarding church and God is so low that it has or is beginning to affect what they stand for entirely. One of the primary reasons for this, I believe, is because many Christians are looking toward themselves for salvation. And each time self is examined, the results doesn't look good at all. Every time we examine self, the result that comes out of it is never good at all. This is the reason why Apostle Paul writes and says something like, "The things that I want to do, I do not find myself doing. The things that I don't want to do are the things I see myself doing." And he asks this question, "Now, who shall deliver me from this power of sin and death?" What this text that I just quoted tells you and I is that sin is powerful, and the consequences of sin is powerful, sin and death. And he asks the question, now, who shall deliver me from this? And he goes on to say, thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Folks, it is the reason we gather here for, is to thank God for Jesus Christ. What this means is those who are looking towards themselves need to redirect their focus, and those who are looking toward God need to keep looking at God. The songwriter says, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, come to thee. We need God every day, my friends. We need God every hour in our lives as Christians. And we cannot do without him. We need him every hour. Well, today I want, by the help of God, to speak on this subject this morning, which, with the hope that we all find sanctity and security, all right, in God as we go on, as we look at Jesus Christ. This is why I chose for a theme this morning, look to Jesus and live. Look to Jesus and live. One unique example of this subject is seen in the Old Testament when the Israelite, because of their sin against God, were being bitten by poisonous snakes. And they were dying in huge numbers. And they come to Moses and they're complaining to Moses that we are dying, and talk to God so that he'll do something about this. And so God tells Moses to make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And he says every time someone gets bitten by a poisonous snake, he says they should look at this bronze snake and live. That was all they had to do. Look at, not make a snake, not do anything else, but look at the bronze snake and live. When you look at this context of that text, you see how well it fits into what we are talking about today. Look to Jesus and live. We need to look to Jesus so that we can have eternal life. It doesn't come through any other means, my friends, but through that. This is why Paul says, just as, you see now, look at the imagery of this text I just quoted from Numbers, where a snake, a bronze snake, is put up on the poor, and anyone who looks at it lives. They are bitten by snakes, but then God says, put a bronze snake up, the same thing that is killing them, will heal them. It is an imagery of what happened in the Bible, where Paul says, just as sin came into the world through one man, also through one man comes life. So Adam, through Adam, came sin into the world, and every person who was born under the seed of Adam came into this world in sin. And that's why Psalm 51 says that in sin did my mother conceive me. That tells you that no boy or girl that has been born into this world escapes that penalty of sin or judgment of sin. But then we come into this world through Adam's seed. And Adam's seed has been condemned to die. But then when we come and we turn to the cross, and we look at the one man that was placed on that cross and died for the sin of the world, just by looking to him, we receive redemption and eternal life, and we live. It is what the subject of today's message is. My hope is that we will be encouraged from here. Where from our gospel text this morning, Jesus addresses this issue regarding eternal life as he is confronted by a group of Jewish leaders as he visited the temple during the festival of dedication, as we read this morning. And the question that the Jewish leaders asked Jesus is, how long will you keep us in suspense? It's the question. How long? Tell us plainly if you are the Messiah. Well, this question, when I look at it, doesn't make no sense at all. Because when you look at the life of Jesus Christ on earth and the things he did and the miracles he worked, it spoke for itself. Anyone who lived in that time, and this is why Jesus says to him, I said it, but you don't believe it. He says, but look at even the miracles that I worked. And even looking at the miracles I've worked, you still don't believe it. And he goes on to say, the reason why you don't is because you are not my sheep. He says, my sheep knows me. And I know them. They hear my voice and they follow me. All right? So you have these people, religious people, who had been in the church making sure that the religious ceremonies are being carried out in the temple year in and year out, yet did not recognize Jesus Christ when he came. Scripture says he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And this is exactly what we see here. And so there, here are people that have been in the church for all their lives, but did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I gather from this is that there are two categories of people in the church today. There are two categories. The first category of people in the church are those who do not have eternal life at all. They don't know God. They are in the church, and church has just become a ceremonial thing, a ritual. But they don't know God. And somebody can say, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because we see Judas, who walked with Jesus for 3 years and yet did not know him. Jesus says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father, the one who sent me. This is something that we need to pay very close attention to. Because when Jesus comes, he's coming to receive his own. And he makes it known also that those who belongs to him hear his voice when he speaks. Question to all of us this morning, are we hearing Jesus? Are you hearing him through his word? When the word of God is dispensed to you, is the word of God making impact in your life? Is the word of God bringing about transformation in your life? Is the word of God guiding you as you walk daily? Is the word of God a lamp to your feet and a light to your path? It's the question that all of us need to be answering. And if your answer to this question is yes, then yes, you are his sheep. Because his sheep listen and hear him when he speaks. The second group of people in the church are those who have eternal life. They never look, those people who look to the cross, sorry, not left, never, but those who look to the cross and are alive in Christ are the second group of people who are in the church. So allow me to show you several reasons why the second group of people have eternal life this morning. Let me show you several reasons why. First thing is they believe in God's promise. They believe in God's promise. Look in Romans 8, chapter 38 and 39. Paul writes these words. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor anything, any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at this text. They believe, the Bible says that those who believe in Jesus Christ, all right, believe in a promise, that the promise that God gives us is guaranteed, that the promises of God are guaranteed, as said in Romans 4, verse 21. God will deliver when he speaks. When he makes a promise, God will deliver. And so we believe that. We believe that what God has said, God will do. We believe that God has said to us that he would come back again on clouds. We believe it, and we know that that will happen. We believe that when we die, we will have eternal life and we spend eternity with God. We believe it because we believe that Jesus went on a cross and died for the sin of the world. We believe that that death on the cross gives us redemption. And the hope that we have in the future is in this very fact. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead and today is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That's what we believe. And because of this belief, we stand in hope in God. We believe that the promises of God will never, ever fail us. It's what we believe. Notice that Paul begins this text talking about life and death. He says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life. And then he went on to name many other things. We are convinced enough to live or die for what we believe, life or death. When a man believes something, he lives for it. But when a man believes something, he also dies for what he believes. You can live or die for what you believe. And this is why Paul started this text talking about how he's convinced that neither life nor death, He starts with those two words first, because everything we do in this text surrounds that. The rest of the stuff it's talking about, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future or powers, and he went on to name these things, in all creation will be able to separate us from the love we have in Jesus Christ. But it starts with living in your belief, and it starts with dying for that belief. And this is what Christianity is based on. If we can live for it and die for it, it's what it is about. So the question to all of us this morning, are you convinced? Are you convinced about your faith? Are you convinced to stand in your faith, whether in life or in death? It's the question that we all need to begin to answer this morning. Or the question also is, how true is the Apostles' Creed to you? When you say the Apostles' Creed, how true is it to you? Is it a recitation or an affirmation? Are you affirming truly your faith in God? Or is one of the rituals that we go through in church? And these are questions that we need to answer. But Paul says in this text that he is convinced that nothing on the earth will be able to separate him from the love that he has found in Jesus. And the reason why he says these words is because of he knows he believes in God's promises. Do you believe in the promise that God has given to you today? You may be going through something present this morning, or you may have to go through something in the future. But how convinced are you through all those times and through all those circumstances that you're going to remain steadfast in your faith in God? Are you convinced? It's the first question that we need to answer this morning. Look at the second point in this morning's message. They believe in God's, not only in God's promise, but they believe in God's perseverance. In Philippians 1 verse 6, it reads, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He will carry it to completion until the day. The text shows us that there are three things that God is doing in us. God started the work by what? Convicting us. And God continues the work by converting us. And God ends the work by completing us. The three things that God is doing. And notice in this text, there is no place in here. There is no place in here for me. Everything that is being done is being done by God. Many times you come across folks in this life who will tell you stuff like, you know, I'm going to clean up my life and then I'll go to church. You can never clean up your life, my friends, to come to God. He is the one who cleans us up. He starts it. When you are sick, you go to the hospital for healing. When you go to the hospital to be treated, you don't say something like, I'm going to get cleaned up, I'm going to take care of myself at home, then go see the doctor. No, you go to the doctor just as you are, and you explain to the doctor exactly what's going on in your life. My friends, Jesus Christ is our doctor. Jesus Christ is our healer. Jesus Christ is the one we look to for salvation. You can't do it on your own. The church is a workshop. We come in and we receive cleansing. We come in and we receive deliverance. We come in and we receive healing. We come in and we receive joy, strength, peace. We receive the Holy Spirit. We come in to get it. You can't get it outside. It is in here. And that's why we come. We come to Jesus, my friend. Don't let the lie that the devil has told sink inside of you. Many times he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy us. And the way he does it is by coming and allowing you to focus on that one sin in your life. Or focus on you. And you don't get the chance to see him. My friends, listen. He started that work in you. And he is the only one that is able to complete that work. God started that work when he convicted your heart. He continues that work by converting you. And he completes that work inside of you. And someday we will be standing around that throne, holding palm branches in our hands, singing Hosanna in the highest. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what we wait for, my friends. Our hope is not in this life. Our hope is not in this time. Our hope is not in these circumstances. Our hope is not in this season. Our hope is not in the election. Our hope is not in the new president. Our hope is not in the new government. Our hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's what we believe. That's what the church stands for, my friends. Nothing else. Nothing else but Jesus Christ. I urge you this morning to believe in him. So the last time I checked the record, God always completed what he started. From the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane, he completed his task. He told the devil in the Garden of Eden, he says that the seed of a woman is going to crush your head and you will bruise his heel. When Jesus got on that cross, my friends, his heel was bruised. But when Jesus came down from that cross, the head of Satan was crushed. And today the devil has no power, all right? He has no power. He's walking around here with an empty gun. It has no bullet in it. When he points it at you, he fakes you and makes you think that something is in it. But when he shoots it, nothing comes out, my friends, because Jesus Christ has won. And Jesus Christ has the power and the authority, not only in the heavens, but on the earth and beneath the earth. At the sound of his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He is the one we worship. Don't let the devil tell you a lie, my friends. We come to Jesus. This is why we've got confidence that God is going to see us through. No matter what the case may be, God is going to see us through. No matter what you're going through now, God is going to see you through. No matter what the doctor's report is, God is going to see you through. Because what he has done on the cross is bigger than any circumstance or obstacle that stands before you and I. Jesus Christ has overcome, my friends. He has overcome death. And death is the strongest judgment that has been imposed on mankind. But Jesus has overcome death. So now we can stand and ask death the question, even death. Death, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? It has been swallowed up. It was swallowed up in Jesus Christ. And he is the reason we gather here this morning. Look to Jesus, my friends, and live. We don't have the answer to life. Society does not have the answer to life. Our careers does not have the answer to life. The answer is in one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you're going to get to God, my friends, there's only one way, and that one way is Jesus Christ. Look at our last point this morning. They believe in God's promise. They believe in God's perseverance. But then they believe in God's perfection. Look in Hebrews 10:14. It says, for by one sacrifice, he's made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now, this text lets us know that we have been made perfect for what? Forever. Not for a time. Not for a season. Not for a moment. But forever. The life that God is giving to you, my friends, is eternal life. The question is, when did you receive it? Are you waiting for it? Do you have it? If you have it, it's eternal. What is eternal cannot end. That's what it means. It lives forever with you. Now, the devil comes to you and tell you this lie, you got to be careful. You got to be careful because you're going to lose that. And we walk around trying to hold this thing that we didn't know how we got it in the first place. We're trying to keep it. But it comes from God, my friends. Eternal life is from God. He gives it to you. And if he gives it to you, the only thing you can do is live in what you have received. And it's what he's asking us to do, all of us. We have been recreated. Listen, not manufactured, but recreated. God recreated us. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. We are not man's product, but we are God's product. That's what we are. So start acting like God products, all right? Start living like a God product. And stop acting like stop acting like we are from the devil. We are no longer from him. We are God's product. Let us act as though we are. This suggests to us that God did not make a down payment on our sacrifice, but rather, when it talks about believing in God's perfection, he didn't make a down payment on our sacrifice, but what God did, he paid the debt in full. He paid it all. God did not go to the devil, you know, and did a layaway for mankind. And so we're sitting waiting, you know, until he paid the debt in full, and then one day, then we're going to have that. That's not what it is. Jesus on the cross said that. He said that his last word was, "It is finished." It was paid for, my friends. Sin was paid for, was judged on the cross of Calvary. And God brought redemption to mankind. It's been paid for. So what we need to do is live in the joy of our salvation. It's what God intends for us, to live in the joy of our salvation. So the debt is paid in full. Our works do not determine our salvation. Listen to this. Our works do not determine our salvation. There is no amount of work that you can do to get saved. It's what I'm saying. If we were able to do something, do a certain amount of work to get saved, Jesus would not have had to come to earth. God was going to design it and put down a plan and a program and tell you how the seven steps work to get to heaven. But when he looked on the universe and looked on the earth, there was not a single person who was worthy to do anything to cross over into eternity. And so he came down when we couldn't get up to him. With a strong arm, he lifted us up and showed us what living is. And that's why we are enjoying this joy. It is not about your works. Get this in your head, my friends. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, don't let the devil tell you a lie. When you find yourself slipping and falling in sin, you run to the cross. Don't run from the cross. You're answered at the cross. You fall down at the cross and beg God for healing and strength and salvation. You ask his forgiveness. It is at the cross, my friends. The world does not have it. Many times we walk away when we find ourselves slipping in sin. We walk away from God and we find these 10 reasons why we're not coming to church. That's wrong. That's wrong. God has given us access, and this is what the devil doesn't like. You see, angels cannot repent. But then God went in and made it available so that human can repent. It takes him off. And this is the reason why he keeps coming at us and saying that I am not going to hell alone. I'm going to make sure they go with me. But God loves us so much that he gives all these things. He gives us accesses to get to him. You know, you fall, you come at the cross, and you fall down in repentance. You ask for forgiveness. You come back and you start afresh and anew again. This is what the life is about. This is why we call it good news. This is why the gospel is good news. Because you can come back to God. Stop running from the cross. Come to the cross. So our works cannot determine our faith. By the fruit, the scripture says, you will know them. What they're saying is our work are the fruit of our salvation. You heard that? Our work does not give us salvation, but rather our works are the fruits of our salvation. It means that the righteousness that's in me is in me because I have been saved. The righteousness that I have is not a righteousness that I got as a result of my works. It is as a result of the work that Jesus worked on the cross that I got saved. And because of the new life that is in me, it is the reason why this new life of salvation that comes through Jesus, it is the reason why you see this life bubbling inside of me. It got nothing to do with me. And this is why Paul says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives inside of me. All right? So the life, the new life that we are living is not about us. It is about the life that God is living inside of us, my friends. And once we come to this grip on this and know that it is not about me, but it is about God who lives in me, it changes everything. It changes everything. You keep running to the cross. You keep coming because why? You know that you're only a branch. You are not a vine. And the source that you get, source of strength and grace you get, comes from the vine. You don't never see a tree out there, a branch out there on the ground living. Have you seen that? Seen a branch cut off from a tree just living, you know? Fresh leaves, bearing fruit on the ground, and saying stuff like, you know, I don't need that vine. I'm going to do it by myself. And it's on the ground just bearing fruit. You seen that before? No. Every time a branch gets cut off, it dies. We need Jesus, my friends. We need him every day. So my prayer to you today is that you be encouraged by the words you've received today. And you leave and go back out into the world knowing that you have Jesus. And no one is able to take him from you. Jesus says this. He says, Lord, Father, you've given them to me, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hands. Because Jesus Christ is powerful than any other powers. He's called Almighty because he's powerful than any other powers. So when he takes hold of us, he holds us well. So my encouragement to you today that if you have received eternal life in Jesus, live out your faith. Live it out to the fullest and maximize your potential in God. It's my prayer. I pray that these words from God this morning encourages your heart, keep you steadfast in your faith. Know always. God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. God will never build his home in you and move away, or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand. Let us look to God in prayer this morning. No one can escape the fact or truth that we all need Jesus Christ. And so it is every morning when we gather in worship like this. We need him. And so we look to him now, commit ourselves to him, and look to the cross as we learn from this sermon. Let us pray, Lord God, this morning we commit ourselves to you as we've heard from you. The prayer this morning is that your word this morning will take residence in our hearts, that we will rest in you, Lord, and that we will find solace in these words. And that as we leave church today and go out into the world, we may be reminded of the great hope that you've brought to us through the cross, and that we live and enjoy the benefit and joys that it brings to us. We pray your glory and grace now upon all who is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.